Any of you preachers that have ever had a sermon that you studied and outlined it, and went dead on you? You better let it stay dead. Do what God's talking about. My heart's this morning over in the passage I done preached here. I preached it one night in revival this week. I've seen some things in it that I want to share with our church. You're really speaking to me this morning. And I'm glad we don't have this Bible preached out. You turn with us over into Luke's Gospel, chapter number 7 and verse number 11. Luke 7, verse number 11. Matter of fact, I don't even have the outline with me. I don't want to get so used to preaching on outlines that I quit preaching out of the Bible. An outline sure does help a preacher's feelings. But I found out I've had a lot of outlines, but if he wasn't on it, I didn't need the outline. I need something that God's talking about. So I appreciate the Sunday school message this morning. Wasn't that great? Very timely, very needful. Bitterness. Lest the root of bitterness springing up in you. Boy, they are below the surface and nobody can really see them. But one thing about it, won't be long they'll see the effects. Amen. And bitterness always comes from a hurt from somebody else that's done something to you. Or it could be imaginative, as he said this morning. I love that thought. Many times the devil portrays something in your mind that's not real. But boy, he can make you believe it's real. He'd tell you nobody cares about you. Nobody loves you. I don't know how many sermons I've preached. Nobody said nothing. I walked out and the devil said, well, that was a flop. And it probably was. But I'm going to tell you something. The devil will never show you what you've got is what you don't got. And here in this story in Luke's Gospel 7, verse 11, the Bible said, came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, the only place that's mentioned in the Bible. I'm glad there's not many places like it in our life. I'm glad it's not many Nains in my life. Where hard times have come. Real deal has happened. Now I want to say, number one, God is real. Number two, He sent His Son to get us out of hell. That I know. I didn't go to the AAs of the world. I didn't go see Dr. Phil or Oprah. The God that wrote this Bible talked to my heart. And I took him to his word by faith. And so the Bible said it came to pass the day after he went to a city called Nain, the only place it's mentioned, its capital. I can tell you this, when what happens to you, what happened to this lady, it'll be capital in your life. It'll be a particular place that you'll remember the name of it. Many of his disciples went with him and much people. Glad he still has some disciples. The Bible said, now when he came nigh, turn me down just a little bit, came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out. Love to tell families today that we were immune to the undertaker, but we're not. The Bible said that this dead man was carried out. Now watch this. The only son of his mother. I'm telling you one thing. God got to talking to this mama through death. I wonder what he's going to talk through you by. Wonder, mama, what it's going to take to get your attention. Daddy, I wonder what it's going to take to get your attention. He allowed a circumstance to come by. The Bible said it was the only son of his mother. She was a widow and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, He had compassion on her and said to her, "Weep not." He came and touched the bier or the coffin, and they that bare him stood still. And He said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And he that was dead, he sat up and began to speak. And delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all. They glorified God, saying, "A great prophet's risen among us. And that God hath visited his people." And this rumor of him went forth throughout all of Judea, throughout all the region round about. The disciples of John showed him all of these things. You may be seated tonight, this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time together today. Oh God, we thank you that you are a God can be trusted. God, you are a God that can be tested, and we want to thank you for that. Help us now in the preaching time, Lord. I need you to feed me this morning. I pray you'd make preaching real to me, that you'd make it real to others. And I ask this prayer only in your Son's name, the Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, there is the place of the story. City of Nain. You know, we don't know a lot about this lady. We really don't know her age. We know something, though, about this place, that it was a city called Nain. It wasn't real far out of Capernaum. There the Lord liked to do many things. Matter of fact, Simon Peter, he had found him by the Sea of Tiberias. Therefore, Simon Peter loved the teachings of Jesus so much in his preaching. No doubt, probably, he had sold his house and moved over to Capernaum. We'd been preaching on the thought of that got home from church and he had found his mother-in-law with a great fever. And Jesus rebuked that fever. Aren't you glad what works in the synagogue will work in your house today? Matter of fact, they was just leaving church and they got home. And just like last Sunday, that great service we had, before I got home, I done had me some devil trouble. You know, the devil cannot keep us from the blessing of God, but he can keep us from the joys of them. And even after that great service we had last Sunday, before I got out of the parking lot, I done let the air out of myself. Well, I'm glad that when we get home, as Simon Peter and them found the Lord, as he got home, there was trouble. But aren't you glad that God could even fix trouble in the home? I'm glad I don't serve a God this morning that I've got to come to the church and pray and get God, or I ain't got to come to church and get a man to help me. I'm glad there's a God that walks home with me from church that can help me in all of my house and my heart troubles this morning. So we find now this city of Nain, this great miracle has arisen after Peter's house. Therefore, he's walking to the city of Nain. There is the place in this woman's life. I've noticed, and me and my wife, we've been married now some 35 or 6 years, be 37 before I know it. But I can tell you this morning, I found out that any time that we have great tragedies and big troubles, we'll always remember the place of it. You know, you'll very seldom ever remember what anybody done for you, but you'll always remember what they done to you. And so we all have some places in our life that were hard times or trouble or sadness has come. This year I've started 20 years as preaching and trying to pastor this ministry at Liberty Baptist Church. And I found out that nearly every family that I've ever pastored, We all have one thing in common, a place. We have a place where God has allowed something to happen to get our attention. Aren't you glad there's a God in the Bible that can let things happen to get your attention? And He knows exactly what we need to get our attention. Matter of fact, I think God had His eyes on this woman of Nain a long time before she ever seen Him. I can remind you of this. The reason we love Him is because He first loved us. I'm glad we've got a God that loves us. And I think that God allowed this place in her life to come to fruition in order that she may meet Him. I want to say He already knew her. And then secondly, I want to say this morning that you may not know Him, but He sure does know you. It was no accident the time that God run His hand in your life. And I want to ask you, if it wasn't for the place, many of us would have never met Him. But thank God there are some places in our life where we're in great sorrow, great tragedy and discomfort, but the Lord comes by. That takes me to number two. Not only the place of the problem, but there was a pain of the problem. Now, she was a widow. I want to say I'm glad that I've never had to walk where she's walking. I was thinking last night, Sister Peggy, for some reason, when I'd come by y'all's place this week, I got to thinking about your dad. He's going into some empty rooms because his spouse has went on before him. Many of you are sitting here this morning, and so you can sort of relate to where this lady of Nain was sitting. You know, life is so short. Brother Adam's right. It seems like maybe the people we hurt the most are those that is the closest to us. Last night, my wife come through the yard on a golf cart, and God sort of raised up in my heart about just what a good lady that He's really blessed me with. And I walked over to her. Some of you won't like this, but I really don't give a rip you like it or not. I said this. I said, honey, I love you and I'll never stop loving you. And boy, God done a lot to bring you in my life, but I sure am glad that God let me meet the lady of my life. I think we take them for granted. And so I got to thinking about, you know, a lot of times I do the yard work, I do some things around the house, and I get to thinking that if I go on before my wife, what she'll be left with. Some of y'all can say, well, probably left with a peace of mind. Somebody say amen right there. But I can tell you this, for a selfish respect, maybe I'm being way too selfish. Maybe we can just go up in the rapture together, Brother Mike, and I'll never have to see my wife leave me out of the atmosphere that I know. I love my wife. And Christ wrote unto us that we would love our wives as Christ loved the church. That's one of the biggest, broadest statements that Jesus ever penned. Sir, we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church, and we are to forgive them and help them and nourish them and see about them. They're not a doormat. They are beside us in life. And thank God that life is good as it is this morning. Some of you say, well, preacher, things are different at my house. I'm like this woman from Nain. I have lost my husband. Isn't it amazing that God is... Isn't it amazing that God is so big, ma'am, that He can do just like He did at the woman of Nain. He can come in and fill that place. Aren't you glad we got a God that can fill a place? I didn't say take a place, but can fill the place. Now, she's going to the graveyard. She's lost her husband. I'm talking about now the pain of life. Seems like that life has dealt with her a very unfair hand. I wondered many times, Brother David, why God allowed my brother at 55 to die some 3 years ago and let me live. just had a birthday last week, and I got to thinking, the grace of God is amazing. Why did God allow me to live and Him to leave? And so, this morning we may think, well, preacher, everything is great at my house, and I'm glad it is, but you remember this, there'll probably be a name experience in your life. The place, the pain. Then not only had her husband died, but it looked like that Brother Will Payne was just mounting. Now, her boy had died. I don't know what had happened to him. I don't know if he was struck with a fever. I don't know if he was killed. I don't know what happened, but what we do know, she was carrying him out in a coffin. That's a sad situation. Mom and daddies, let me tell you something. Our children is a gift and a heritage from the Lord. I thank the Lord for my children and my grandchildren. Such a joy to have both. And some of you, you've lost a child. Some of you, it may be coming that you're going to lose a child. I'm trying to get to where I'm wanting to get to today. But I'm trying to paint you this picture of where this woman is coming out of the city. And can you imagine this? Can you imagine this now? Can you imagine not having Jesus around in these circumstances? She didn't know the Lord. Far as we know, she knew nothing about Him. She had done buried a husband seemingly by herself. Now her son had died. He wasn't at the point of death. He's died. I wish I could tell you younger families how important it is to cherish the time together. I wish I could explain to you, sir, before long, I know right now they're on your toes, but they'll be on your heart before too long. And I want to tell you something. You better be savoring the moments, and you better be doing what this Bible says do, raising them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. They are our responsibility, daddies. It's not the school system's responsibility to raise our children. It's not the daycare center's responsibility. He has entrusted you with your child or your children. And so we see the pain of this lady. I found something out about pain the older I get. I don't take nothing lightly anymore. You know, I used to sort of not think much of anybody's situation or problem. But you know, the only reason maybe that you're not thinking more about it is because you're not there yourself. So you better be careful to show a little compassion through life's way, because some problems that other people are facing, it may not be long, we may be facing the same issues. Now, number three. Not only the place of this lady's problem and the pain of this lady's problem, but notice the people helping with this lady's problem. It amazed me what I seen in this passage. There was one crowd following Christ to glory. There was another crowd following a coffin to the graveyard. And they meet down there together. But I want you to look at the people of this situation. All of a sudden, somebody is helping her carry her dead boy out of the gate of the city. That's just where I'm going. Thank God for people in my life that's helped me carry my burden. I'm going to say this, burdens are heavy. Burdens are bigger than we are many times. But aren't you glad that God has allowed some people in your life to help shoulder your burdens? We need each other. You say, well, preacher, what about the people of this story? Well, this lady's just experienced one of the most trying times, one of the hardest times in her life, and there was some people stepped up to help her shoulder her burden. I want to thank God for the people in my life that has helped me shoulder my burden. Thank God for people in my life that I've been able to share my burden. Wouldn't go and talk about me, but simply Brother Adam would come and help me shoulder my burden. Now, something else that I've noticed about this woman, what people don't even recognize, but when they were helping shoulder her burden, it took her right into the path of Jesus. It takes me to my last point. There's the power of the story. Jesus said something to the woman, not to the crowd, but to that woman, and this is what He said, "Weep not." That's a pretty big statement when you've just lost your boy. Is that not pretty bizarre? Now, put yourself where she is. All of a sudden, she's lost her husband. She's carrying her boy to the graveyard. And all of a sudden, Jesus walks up and He speaks to her and He says, "Woman, weep not." Now, something happened. This lady got a hold of some faith. And she believed on the Lord. You say, how do you know she believed on the Lord? Because the next step came in process. It was two commands. One to the woman. Secondly, He spoke to her burden. He touched the bier, the coffin. And her boy sat up. Aren't you glad we've got a God, number one, that can handle your situation? What does people do without the Lord? You know, we better be careful in our culture and in our lifestyle when we see somebody that is down and somebody's heavy laden with a burden. We better be careful that we don't take that just very minimal and maybe very impactful in their life. It does matter who you help, and it does matter how you help. But I want to ask you something this morning. How many times at your house you've been weighted down with a heavy burden and you've wondered, well, what do we do? What do we do? Well, I love the text that I wanted to preach out of this morning and started this out. And I simply want to say this in Luke 5:17. It came to pass on a certain day as He was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem. And here it is. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. I'm glad that the power of the Lord is present here this morning to do great things that none of us can do. I'd like to ask you, ma'am, sir, I would like to ask you this morning, would you take Him at His word and believe? He cried and said, "Woman, weep not." I think she took Him at His word because He went to the next step. Aren't you glad that in that of salvation, when we believe upon His word, there's something that happens and it always brings life? He sat up. Wouldn't that be a blessing if Jesus spoke to your situation today and made it set up and get off of its back? Wouldn't it be a blessing today if you would take God at His word of what He said by faith and simply trust Him? There's some of you, no doubt, you need to be saved. All around the building, you've never been saved by the grace of God. I went and I talked to a man this week in the hospital. I mean, done up older in the years of life. And I said, "Sir, have you ever been saved?" He said, no, preacher, but I know I need to be. Well, did you know that the same God that saved this situation would save him if he would trust him, and would save you if you would trust his word? I preached last Sunday night on thank God for the blood. You remember when God told the children of Israel to put that blood on the doorpost? No doubt there were many of those that maybe wondered or doubted. But when that death angel come, it passed over him because he seen the blood. You know why they put it there? Because they trusted his word. You know the only way you're going to get saved, just like this woman done, she's got to trust his word. Did you know God said this? He's not willing that any perish, but that all would come to repentance. You know, there's no doubt when the blood was applied on that doorpost, there were some of those when the death angel was going to come over at midnight, some of those about 11:30 was doubting, wondering, was it really going to work? Can I tell you, to doubt is normal, but you don't have to live a life in doubt. Because they trusted His Word and did what He said do, it worked. Can I tell you, it still works. I don't need to go to the AAs. I don't need to go to the secular things of the world. I can trust Jesus to handle all of my problems. I'm glad it works at home, works at church. Miss Sherry, I want you to come this morning. I want you to play me something on the instrument. I don't want a song. I don't know why this come on me so, but I just want to try to mind him and say this morning. Are you burdened? Did you know Jesus said that if you would come unto Him, He would in no wise cast you out? You're going to have to take Jesus at His word of what He said. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to say this in the story, Brother Mike. I wonder how long before he went in the graveyard. He is just a few steps from the graveyard, and Jesus intervened. Brother Rodney, I wonder how close me and you was to the graveyard before Jesus spoke to us and set us up. You say, well, preacher, I'm willing to take them chances. I'm not. I like what Miss Victoria said Sunday morning. When she stood up and testified, she said, I run to the altar because I was afraid I wouldn't make it. I love that, don't you? Has anybody had anybody to help you shoulder your burdens? You know, I know we're in a church that's growing. And I thank God for that. We're in a church, there's a lot of new faces here. I thank God for that. But I'm going to tell you something. If we lose the core of compassion, we might as well lock our church doors and go to the house, because we'll just be as a tinkling brass and sounding cymbal. We need somebody to help us through life. You say, oh, preacher, I'm young, man. I can handle it. Okay, let me ask you something. When you walk down the graveyard with your kid, you better hope there's going to be somebody with you to help you carry your burden. And number two, you better sure hope the Lord's going to be there in the present. This is what I want to do. There's been some people help you shoulder your burden. Thank the Lord I got people. And you know, people's got the wrong idea about church. And I understand people that's been raised in just a religious atmosphere and don't really know about the workings of God, the workings of the Spirit of God and the compassion of the people of God. This is about all you know about church. Well, if I come to the altar, somebody's going to think, well, what have I been doing? Let me tell you, if the truth is known, we all ought to be piled in this altar this morning. If the truth is really known, I'm glad this isn't a church that when somebody goes to the altar, somebody says, well, what are they doing? I'm glad it's not foreign to our ministry.
I'm glad our altars are always open. And I want to say this, most of the time you never have to pray by yourself. I love that about this church. When ladies come pray, some other ladies will come help them pray. When men come to pray, there are other men that will come and help you pray. I'm glad there's people that will help us carry and shoulder our burden, Brother Vince. Brother Lee, how many times have you men prayed for me out in revival preaching? I know you prayed for me. Helping me carry my burden. Brother Jason won't mind me saying this because it's true. They've had a Nain experience. Things happen different than norm. Heartache and upset. How many families here has had a Nain experience? Nearly everybody sitting here. Thank God, Brother Adam, we're not by ourselves. There's some people that'll go with us. And that's what kind of church we need. A place that's real and dependable. Just plain preaching. People with needs and issues. I'm telling you, for my life, I need the Lord more today than I've ever needed Him in all my life. I know the Lord's real. I know He lives because He lives in my heart. Nobody else could do in me what the Lord's done in me. And it all come by what this woman had, faith. Now I want to ask you something, Miss Sherry's playing. Two things. I wonder, could you access the faith God's give you to believe upon Him this morning? Take an eternal step by faith toward Him. Wonder, would you be willing to do that? Ma'am, I want to ask you something. The Lord loves you, but you're going to have to trust what He said is enough. And simply that He loves you, and if you'd come to Him, He would in no wise cast you out, and He'd wash you all of your sins away. Sir, if you'd be willing to trust what Jesus has done for you and trust His Word, He would do a great work for you this morning. But you'll have to come by faith. Then secondly, it ought to be some folks this morning get up and go by and thank somebody for helping them shoulder their load. And it may be some that needs to go get somebody and say, come help me pray and shoulder my load. Thank God for people that's caring. I open these altars this morning. Would you mind the Lord, my sister, place whatever you need. There's room for you if you come. You say, well, preacher, I don't know what to do. Well, just mind Him. Just mind Him. You may need to go get somebody and say, hey, come with me and help me pray and shoulder my load this morning. Maybe somebody that just needs to come and take Him by faith. Just like this lady from Nain. Weep not. Weep not. Trust Him. Oh, if you can just trust Him. If you can just trust Him. Trust Him. If you just come and trust Him, He'd help you this morning. But you'll have to trust Him.